We're going to be chatting to William van der Riet, who is the owner of Cathedral Peak Hotel. It's a four-star hotel in the Drakensberg. And also bringing in Ryan Woolley. And the reason for that is that both of these guys are having serious issues now with this business interruption insurance. Let's bring in William van der Riet now. He is a hotelier. We've also got Ryan Woolley with us. Ryan is representing a lot of people who are in a similar situation to you. But perhaps you could just tell us your story, a little bit of the story of Cathedral Peak and why you decided in the first place to go for business interference or insurance. In other words, that if your business were to be affected by something like what we're seeing with the pandemic, that you wanted to be insured against it. Just tell us your story.
We are very isolated, as you're aware. So we've always had the risk of being cut off either by the road access or a situation like this. So we have gone for this specific policy for this very reason. And we took the extension and we've been paying our dues since 2009. And here we find ourselves in a situation where we need the insurers and they've turned their back on us.
For more than 10 years then, you've been paying for business interruption insurance. Have you ever claimed up to this point?
We have never claimed on business interruption. We've had other policy claims, obviously, but not on the business interruption. And we've been paying since 2009, and we calculated that our fees had been in the region of $9.5 million to date. So they've taken our money in good faith for all these years. And here in a time of crisis, when we need them, they're not there for us.
William, how much would you be claiming?
Ryan Woolley's company have calculated that we are probably looking at a loss over 12 months in the region of 21 to 22 million, because our policy was for a 12-month period from the time of our first claim. So we're going to be in for about 22 million thereabouts.
I didn't know you were one of Ryan's clients, but it's nice that we also asked Ryan to join us today. Ryan, this sounds very unfair. $9.5 million over 10 years. If you take the value of that cash, just deflate it, then you'd probably easily get to $21 million. So the insurance company wouldn't really be making a big loss on Cathedral Peak Hotel. What are they saying to you why they won't pay?
So all the insurers have essentially, barring our insurance, have essentially said that they don't see the lockdown period as being covered and that they believe that this is an intervening cause and not what the policy was designed to cover. But it's a completely nonsensical approach. Without COVID-19, you don't have the lockdown restrictions and measures. Insurers, like William said, have chosen to insure a notifiable disease. The insurer that he's with has got a very simply worded policy that says if there's a notifiable disease that affects the business within a 50-kilometer radius, their claim is payable. Their approach is one where they say, show us how the one or two cases that you've identified that are being positive COVID cases has directly caused your business to be interrupted or interfered with. And they're not interested in anything with regards to government's restrictions or any of the interventions. We just think that they are interpreting the policy in their favor, that they are trying everything to try and get out of this. But essentially, the wording, it's not worth the paper it's written on if it doesn't get interpreted the way that William and ourselves see it, which is if you have a notifiable disease that occurs anywhere within your radius that creates fear, that creates loss of attraction, or anything of the like, as well as the government's intervention and restrictions for notifiable disease, then why else, how else could the policy respond?
If the policy is not applicable in this case, the obvious question to them is, well, when will it be applicable? If it isn't with COVID-19, when are you actually going to pay out on this R9.5 million worth of premiums that William has paid?
Absolutely. That's exactly the point, is that the way that we've interpreted it, it's the way that our insurance interprets it. It's the way that anybody who applies any common sense to this, a judge, I'm sure at some stage we'll sit and interpret it exactly the same as we are. It's a sad indictment on the industry if we've got to wait for 2 to 3 years and watch businesses that have been around like Williams, like Cathedral Peak, which is an institution, to see those businesses fail because insurers have not come to the party. It's just devastating.
William, you are the second generation. Did your father or your family presumably started the hotel?
Yes, that's correct. My dad was a farmer originally. He used to farm in the area of Olafia's Hook Pass and then laterally down about 45 k's down the valley from the hotel. And they used to go on horseback hunting up in the Drakensberg because there were no roads or anything. It was just grazing felt. And he located the landowner in the 1930s and negotiated to buy the piece of property and literally built it from the ground up. There was absolutely nothing there. In fact, they had to make the road to get to the property. And then, of course, the Second World War came along and that interrupted business and made things very difficult for them back in the early days. So, yeah, we've been there 81 years. We used to kind of joke about, wouldn't the hotel be so nice with no guests and no staff with this whole place to ourselves? Little did we know that this COVID thing would come along and we would be in this situation. So it's really scary for us.
So 81 years, are you able to survive this?
Not without help. Our overheads at the moment are between 800,000 and 1 million rand a month with security, which we've had to keep on to protect the property. And with the various insurance policies, medical aid, UIF, etc., we've got massive overheads. And we've kind of maxed out on our credit limits at this stage. So if we don't get help soon, we're going to be in serious trouble and we'll have to try and approach the banks to get interim financing. We're still hopeful that the insurers will come to their senses and make some sort of offer on this, some negotiated settlement. And, you know, I just don't understand why the industry has not adopted a proactive approach from the beginning and said, listen, guys, we acknowledge that we are in this thing and your policy is valid, but we can't meet the quantum. We can offer you a percentage and then give you a discounted rate for the next 2 years or some sort of proactive approach instead of just absolutely slamming the door in our faces. It makes no sense.
Ryan, it sounds almost like a cartel type approach from the insurance companies. You did mention insurance
broken ranks. I spoke to Dani Mateo, the CEO, on Friday and applaud him for the efforts that they've made. They've been paying the claims since mid-April, and his view is very clear. His interpretation of the policy is well aligned with ours, and he's also been quite vocal with their meetings with the FSCA and the like, and we can only hope that common sense prevails, like William says. With Guardrisk, we've extended the olive branch. We've asked for a meeting with them. We are waiting for confirmation of those dates, but unfortunately, we can't wait. So the applications are going off, and we'll be looking for our day in court.
Guardrisk, that's the people who you've been paying, William?
We pay our broker, and policy is underwritten by Guardrisk, correct.
And what does your broker say about this, being the intermediary between you and the insurance company that won't pay?
You know, when this whole COVID thing started breaking in February, I had conversations with him where he indicated that we were in good standing. Our policy was the best policy money could buy. And once we had a case within 50 kilometers, we would have a valid claim. And we lodged our claim. We had a case 5 days before lockdown and we lodged our claim. And as everyone will tell you who's in the situation, they've asked for more information, which you give them. They ask for more information, you give it, and they string you along for now 3 months. So we should have been paid out. And in fact, the insurers have indicated at the moment they will consider paying us out for the 5 days between our first claim and the lockdown, which is also totally ludicrous. So they're hiding behind their lawyers and fancy wording, but we believe we should be paid.
What about government? Surely if there's one instance where government needs to step in, this would be it, given the philosophy that government has towards tourism being a huge part of the development of South Africa. Ryan, have you had much success with it?
We've definitely lobbied support from all the associations within the tourism sector. On Friday, we reached out to the Minister of Tourism in a formal letter to ask for her intervention in the matter.
William?
Yeah, the tragedy is that where we're situated, we've been there 81 years. We employ from our local community. At the moment, we have 200-odd staff, and in the days of Better Business, we had over 300 staff. And 300 staff support thousands and thousands of family members. And we're all in this predicament. We are the major employer in our valley. So if we go down, there will be a lot of people without jobs. And you would really think that the government should intervene in some form. But the bank loans that are available via the government don't really help, because you have to start paying that back within 3 months. And if we're not allowed to operate, we can't pay a loan back. So they've actually rejected the claims. And most of the other schemes are available for small black-owned businesses and not available for businesses like ours and the Tsogo Sons and so on. So it's a real catch-22.
And just to close off with, William, when are you going to be allowed to take bookings again?
Well, this is another point. The statements that are going out about tourism being open for you can go for a hike and you can go and play golf and you can go fishing. But some have interpreted that that means leisure hotels are open. But we are not of that opinion. We are of the opinion that we will not be allowed to open for accommodation until level one. But right now, there is a lot of confusion out there. And as I said, I know some businesses that are just opening and saying, well, the government must do what they have to do, but they can't carry on surviving with no income. So we don't know when we're opening. There's absolutely no indication. We're hoping by later in the year, but I believe this COVID story is just beginning. The numbers are going to skyrocket now. In areas like ours, they have not been practicing social distancing or anything like that. They've been carrying on like nothing's happened. And when we do open, our staff come from that area. So what's going to happen? We're caught in the middle of a really tough situation.
Do you get most of your visitors from KwaZulu-Natal? In other words, the interprovincial banning, transport banning, does that affect you?
Yes, it will. About 20% of our business is overseas, so we know that'll be gone for 18 months to 2 years, in my opinion. And then the rest is pretty well spread around the country. Probably only about 30%, 40% comes from KZN. So it's not going to be easy. And also, when we do open, I'm sure we will not be able to open at full capacity, even if we could fill the hotel. There are going to be restrictions on numbers and all the rest. And the problem is our staff want to be paid. So
you're not taking bookings yet?
No, we're not taking bookings yet. Some businesses are, but we are of the opinion that it's pointless taking bookings until you know when you can honor them.